are here at the 2018 Filene Big Bright Minds Conference in San Diego, California. And on the couch next to me is a crasher, another crasher.
Yes.
Alyssa Lapine from Bethpage Federal Credit Union. Yes. Across the country. You guys flew across the country to be here.
We knew it was worth it.
It well spoken, yes. This conference is definitely well worth the travels here. So before I get into the crasher stuff that you're doing, how's the conference going so far?
It's great. I'm learning a lot of takeaways from each speaker. You know, some conferences you go to, you see one or two that really stick out.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I'm having a lot of trouble finding those one or two because it's everyone.
Everything. Yeah.
It's very interesting. We had the day away, and I know that's Filene is famous for that, and it was probably one of the most amazing on-site visits that I've had.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty new to the credit union industry, about 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So seeing all the inspiration of all the other credit unions and what other people are doing is just really mm-hmm. inspiring and really humbling.
Yeah, tell me about your day away. Which one did you do?
So we did the Innovation Day Away, which was at the Jacobs Center.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a city center that the land was donated by the Jacobs family,
mm-hmm.
and they really took a different approach to it. So instead of just writing checks and donating to a bunch of different causes, they really wanted to invest in the community.
Mm-hmm.
So they created this day away, well, they created this center,
mm-hmm.
and at the center they have a bunch of different office space, mezzanines, things like that,
mm-hmm.
and a bunch of resources for people that are in need.
Mm-hmm.
So we had one woman there that now works at the center, but her first experience at the center was she came and she was looking for help. She just got laid off from the police department. She had a young son. She was living out of her car.
Oh my gosh.
So someone at the center just asked the right questions. They weren't like, oh, you can just go to this place over there, they'll help you. They really asked her questions and gave her resources that helped her out.
Mm-hmm.
Right now they have a resident building that has about 50 units and there's a 5-year waiting list for it. They're trying their best to build more and more and they have a great plan, great action steps to get these residents, but it's needed in the community.
Mm-hmm.
They had other people that they took off the streets that were taggers and getting in trouble for graffiti, and they gave them an area to have an outlet and to learn how to use Photoshop, Adobe Suites, and things like that. And now a lot of them have graphic design degrees.
Really? Oh, wow.
And there's this place called Writer's Block where they allow them to graffiti wherever they want,
mm-hmm.
basically in that
mm-hmm.
section.
Mm-hmm.
And now they have artists coming from all over the world. The individual, Jose, that actually was one of the first people to come in and start Writer's Block,
mm-hmm.
we'll get a call Sunday morning, like, this artist is here from Germany, like, can you take him? And people are really excited to see it, and it's amazing what they're doing.
Wow.
They have a bunch of different, let me start over with that.
No, no, take your time.
Where do I want to go to? Okay, so when the Jacobs family donated the space,
mm-hmm.
it was a 30-year commitment that they were giving to the building.
Mm-hmm.
And after that 30 years, it was going to be the residents that were taking over the entire area. So they have the strip mall, the resident areas, schools there, a bunch of different plans.
Mm-hmm.
So before the Jacobs family came along, it was completely toxic area. And it was very expensive, as everyone knows, to
mm-hmm.
clean up those areas.
Mm-hmm.
So they had two different creeks. The first creek, the Jacobs family wrote a $6 million check.
Mm-hmm.
And they used that money, they cleaned up the creek, and now it's good. They had a second one, and this is when they started getting more people in there, and they were really trying to teach people how to be smart and strategic and using the resources that are out there. So they decided to not ask the Jacobs family for $6 million. They said, just give us $500,000. Just give us seed money.
Hmm.
They took the seed money. They created all of these plans on how they wanted the creek to be fixed and what they needed and things like that. And they took it to the state and ended up getting the rest of the money as a grant.
Ah, good idea.
So they're teaching these residents how to do all of this.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
that when the residents take it over, they can do this because the Jacobs family isn't going to be around. There's only two of them left. They can't keep writing these checks and
right.
they're not going to be around to
right.
keep it up. But
right.
the residents are really empowered. So it's more about not giving someone a hand out, but
mm-hmm.
giving them a hand up
mm.
and really teaching them and giving them all the tools that they need to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
And it's innovation at its finest.
Oh my gosh, what an experience. And just to kind of clarify, the Jacobs family, they're the ones who started Qualcomm. So, and Qualcomm is everywhere in San Diego, and obviously they're all over the world, business-wise, but and they've done absolutely very well, but they've given so much back to the San Diego community, and this is an example of what they've done, and you got to experience it firsthand, so really cool stuff. So did they tie it back to, or connect it back to credit unions on how credit unions can do something similar, or I'm assuming, or how did they tie it back to credit unions?
Yeah, so in the room, I think there might have been about 30 of us, and we're all credit union professionals, mm-hmm. so we're hearing these stories, and we're like, what do you guys have here? And we're asking these questions, and we actually found out that Wells Fargo came into the strip mall. So when the strip mall first opened, there was a bunch of people that opened up mom and pop shops. Mm-hmm. They lasted about 2 years and unfortunately went out of business mm-hmm. because these people weren't business people. They had one trade that they were good at, whether it was a restaurant or whatever it was, mm-hmm. and they couldn't stay in business. Mm-hmm. So they needed to get some of these big retailers in. They didn't have other choices. Mm-hmm. So Wells Fargo actually came in and negotiated a non-compete so that no other financial industry, no other financial institution mm-hmm. can be in that strip mall.
Oh, wow.
So that's one struggle for them.
Yeah.
They don't have access to any other financial institutions. I think the woman that worked there said that there was one credit union, and I think it was like 20 miles away from them.
That's a long ways.
Yes. And they don't have access to ATMs or anything like that. So it actually turned out that there was people on their board of directors mm-hmm. or I think the board of directors, and there was one credit union professional that Centaur, keep me, is that honest? Is that the industry that we were talking about? What was that? Something with S. So there was one credit union professional that was in the group of visitors that really was trying to make them all the connections. You need to talk to this person, you need to talk to this person. Everyone was giving their 2 cents, and mm-hmm. I think everyone understood that this wasn't a day away where, you know, we went for 3 hours, it was nice to see, it was heartwarming, and we're mm-hmm. gonna walk away.
Right.
I think everyone's kind of invested in it, and everyone was trying to make connections and get contacts to these wow. people to really find out how we can help them. Mm-hmm. Because although in that strip mall we can't have a financial institution, we can have one nearby that can serve these people, mm-hmm. and I think every credit union is about serving a market that is being underserved. Mm-hmm. These people deserve to be able to have somewhere where they can bring their money and they can get loans and really build their credit mm-hmm. and make a better life for not only themselves, but their children, mm-hmm. their neighbors, everyone. So mm-hmm. it was really inspiring and really humbling and a little disappointing that there isn't a credit union there yet. But I think that they're on a good path and there will be more
yeah.
opportunities for those people.
I think that's a prime area for a credit union to be for sure. And so I'm going to segue into your Crasher experience because, I mean, that alone is an incredible experience, right? That the Crasher program kind of allowed that to happen. But what prompted you to, I guess, apply to come here, and what prompted you to do that type of stuff?
Yeah, definitely. So I come from Bethpage Federal Credit Union. We've had a lot of people apply and get accepted into the GAC Crash, mm-hmm. and I've heard nothing but great things
yeah,
about
it's pretty
it.
Tremendous.
Yeah, so I heard about this conference and I was like, I really want to come because we just changed one of our strategic pillars to actually innovation. So it's on our radar. We have a new space that is an innovation center where if we're having a problem in the credit union, we bring a bunch of people in, whoever wants to volunteer, we bring them into this space where there's no Wi-Fi, no work, you disconnect and you just focus on the problem at hand. So innovation has been a big talk in mm-hmm. the company. Mm-hmm. So I knew this would be good for me. And then I heard a little bit more about the Crasher program. And you know, for me, I'm 23 years old and I'm in a marketing role in a credit union, which I didn't think was gonna happen. I'm still in school, so it's hard. It's hard to talk to other people that are in my shoes because I don't have that past knowledge and wisdom that a lot of people do. Mm-hmm. So I thought this was a great opportunity for young professionals and to meet other people that went through the same struggles that I'm going through, mm-hmm. being young, trying to get taken seriously, all of that. Mm-hmm. So
we're actually still recording.
Yeah. but yeah, I think that it just taught me that there's a lot of other young people that did what I did and they're in great places, and just picking everyone's brain, like, how did you deal with the struggle that we're having? I mean, one struggle we were having was trying to find a vendor that would do our social media aggregating and mm-hmm. bringing everything into one platform because mm-hmm. we're really struggling. And I've mm-hmm. been to like 2 conferences in the last 6 months and I've asked every single person, where do you get it? And mm-hmm. we actually did get a vendor that we love and is working great for us. So it's just about picking the brains and really getting the opportunity. The Crasher program, we have people like George coming in and yeah. talking to us at breakfast. Yeah. And it's just a behind the scenes mm-hmm. that normally I wouldn't have the opportunity to talk to people that I'm talking to. Right, and right. it's amazing.
Wow, that's phenomenal. That's what this program does for folks that want to further their careers or get even deeper into the credit union industry, that type of stuff. So it's, I mean, just listening to you and you as well, Kimberly, that Beth Page is in good hands. you are two very sharp ladies that I hope stay within this industry, and I'm really impressed.
Thank
you for your time and the experience that you guys are they're getting right now is second to none. And this doesn't happen in every industry. I've been in lots of industries and this stuff doesn't really happen in other industries. So embrace it, appreciate it. And you guys are giving me goosebumps. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it. And sorry for the power.
No, it's fine.